welcome you to the Warren Alliance Church and our virtual service for this weekend. I want to start today just by saying again, for those of you that are a part of Warren Alliance Church, you are missed. Again, I'm recording this on Friday morning with Pastor Steve in attendance, and I definitely miss not seeing your faces and not having you here with us. Today, as we reflect on the scripture, I was thinking of just in the last few weeks, there are certain words that we've been hearing a lot. We hear a lot about social distancing, and that's kind of in some ways become a joke at times, and yet definitely an important, very serious issue. Another term that we've been hearing a lot about is exponential growth. And so unless you're a statistician, or into mathematics or some other fields that use that term, that may be a term that you haven't heard a lot about. And the context and the use of exponential growth has really fed a lot of the fear and the concern that people have had during this season with the coronavirus crisis. The idea of exponential growth is instead of adding the same number each day, that number of cases or number of fatalities or whatever the statistic is that's being tracked, instead of adding a number, the numbers are multiplying. We see that even in the United States. On March 12th, we had 1,600 cases. On March 20th, 19,000 cases. March 26th, 85,000 cases. You see the numbers are not just being added a small amount each day, but the amounts that are being added to those statistics are multiplying every few days. That's what we see when we look at the charts. We see those spikes in the charts. And, you know, we look at that and we see the exponential growth and the fact that trying to flatten the curve and keep those spikes from happening any greater than what they already are has been part of the challenge through this situation. I realize that this can be a time of fear and a lot of anxiety. But at the same time, I want to encourage you, while last week as we looked at Psalm 91 was the reminder to trust God in this time and in this situation, I want us today to be really thinking about things that we can do during this time to be an impact for good and hope and encouragement. I love the quote by Fred Rogers, and I know this has been floating around on social media a lot during this season. Fred Rogers had said, "When I was a boy and I would see scary things on the news, my mother would say to me, 'Look for the helpers. You will always find people who are helping.'" That idea of taking our eyes off the crisis and in the midst of the crisis, in the midst of the scary things that we might be seeing in the news, to be able to see the stories of the people that are stepping up to help, to care, to contribute good in the midst of this situation, reminds us of what we're called to. If we're Christ followers, God has called us to be salt and light. And even in the midst of this challenge, we have an opportunity to be an encouragement and to point to the hope that we can find in Christ and multiply not only our faith, but our acts of gratitude and our words of gratitude, as well as our acts of service and demonstrating God's love in practical ways during this time. When we think about that Fred Rogers quote, we might ask, well, how can we help? I mean, we're all quarantined into our homes often. We're not really getting out much. So what can we do? What steps can we take to really be part of helping in this situation? Obviously, even cooperating with the government's recommendations of limiting our social contact is a way that we can help. But I want to move beyond that today to really encourage each of us to consider what small steps we can take so that together we can have an exponential impact on our neighbors and on our community, upon our country and this world. We may not think that we can make much of a difference personally, but when we all contribute what we can to be part of the solution and part of helping, we can make an exponential impact for good. Jesus in Matthew 13, verses 31 through 33, presents two short parables, and they're two of the shorter parables and stories that he tells. And then Jesus would often tell these parables or these stories to illustrate what life in his kingdom looked like. This idea of helping us understand that when we enter into a relationship with Christ and we enter under, or we put our lives under His authority, we experience the full blessing of His kingdom. Jesus talked a lot about this, and each of the parables were emphasizing different aspects and different themes of what life in God's kingdom really looks like. Jesus went around not only preaching the good news, He went around preaching the good news of the kingdom. We understand that with the coming of Jesus Christ, the King, God's kingdom had come. And Jesus brought with Him all the benefits of being a part of His kingdom. And He invited people to become a part of His kingdom by surrendering their lives to Him, declaring personally that Jesus is Lord. Jesus talked a lot about what life in relationship with Him and life in His kingdom looked like. And that's the focus of Matthew 13, verses 31 through 32. And specifically, the theme that we see in this passage is reminding us that in God's kingdom, what appears to be small, what appears to be insignificant in its beginnings, can grow to have great impact and influence. And so let's read the passage together. We're going to look at verses 31 and 32 first, the first of the two parables. We'll make some comments on that and then move on to the second. Matthew 13, verses 31 through 32 reads, Jesus, and this is Jesus' words, He says, He put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches." The people that were hearing these words from Jesus understood that the mustard seed was the smallest known seed in Palestine at that time. And so that idea of the mustard seed being the smallest seed would have been a common thought and remind the people of just the size and reminding them that it appears insignificant. But they understood that that small seed, when planted, would grow a plant that was more like a bush, but actually would sometimes grow up to be 10, 12 feet tall, and even to a point where, as Jesus references in the parable, that even a bird could nest in its branches. These words remind us that in God's kingdom, what appears to be small, what appears to be insignificant, in its beginnings can grow to have great impact and influence. He goes on to tell another parable in verse 33. He says, He told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in three measures of flour until it was all leavened." That idea here again is taking that, what we would use today, a small amount of yeast, and adding it into our mixing of bread or flour. We understand that it permeates and has an influence in the flour and impacts what we get in that loaf of bread, or so what starts with a small amount multiplies in a much larger amount. We understand that for the people in this day, they would have actually been taking some of the leftover bread from the previous week, and that bit of last week's bread would be mixed in with the flour of the bread that they were making and having the same effect of the yeast that we would buy in the store today. When we think of this story, it's just, again, Jesus reinforcing that same point, that what appears to be small, what appears to be insignificant in the case of the yeast or the leaven, what appears to even be hidden, something that no one really sees, is having great impact and influence. And this is where those that were hearing Jesus say this for the first time would have been struggling, because Jesus was going around proclaiming that the kingdom of God had come, and yet the people looked and they just saw Jesus with this small band of disciples. And they didn't always appear to be the cream of the crop. And so people would look at this and say, well, how is this the kingdom of God? Because they were expecting something big. They were expecting something profound. And yet Jesus introduced the kingdom of God with this small band of disciples. What the people couldn't see was that small band of disciples would go on to change the world. And that theme is something we see even for those of us who follow Christ today. And what Jesus is doing here in talking about the mustard seed or this lump of leaven or yeast is that what appears to be insignificant and in our beginnings can grow to great size. And the idea of the mustard seed and the great plant. Or what appears to be hidden and unseen can have great influence. In God's kingdom, what appears to be small, insignificant in its beginnings can grow to have great impact and influence. And so today I want us to think and reflect in our own lives and say, well, what can we do? What can we each do individually so that together we can have an exponential impact on our community? Wherever it is, I realize there's people watching this, not only in Warren, but in other parts of the country, and Tom and Lois, if you're watching, we're excited to have you watching in Russia. Wherever you are, if we understand that God, when we surrender our lives to God and invite Christ into our hearts, into our lives, he can begin a work in us, and when we make our lives available to him, he can do a work in us that has an impact on those around us. And when we all make those commitments to take those small steps of investing in our faith and investing in loving and serving others, we can see an exponential impact for good. So today I just want to walk us through some ideas from Scripture and what God calls his people to do and who he calls us to be in ways that we can take small steps in our own life to make an impact in those around us. I believe that we can take steps to allow God to multiply our faith, our confidence that even in the midst of this crisis, that Jesus is Lord. We can take steps to multiply our gratitude. I mean, it's really difficult at times. We turn on the news or we're following social media and we see all the bad news. I believe that as God's people, we need to be some of those people that are speaking words of gratefulness and highlighting the positive, the things that we're grateful for in our lives. But we also have the opportunity to multiply the impact of our small acts of caring, our small acts of love and service to others. And so let's walk through that. We can multiply our faith, and this has both an internal aspect as well as an external aspect. Some of the scriptures I just want us to think about, and just a reminder of the confidence that we can have that Jesus is Lord of our life, and he's Lord over this situation. There were a number of passages I looked at, but I want to share just a few. Romans 8, 38 through 39 says, "For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Philippians 2, 9 through 11 says, "Therefore," speaking of Christ and him being exalted to a place of lordship, says, "Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Hebrews 13:6 says, "So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" During this season, I want you to reflect on that truth, that simple truth that Jesus is Lord, nothing can separate us from his love, and that if God is for us, who can be against us? If the Lord is our helper, why would we fear? Because what can man or what can really this sickness do to us? We can trust that God is going to be with us. We need to be a people who grow in our confidence that Jesus is Lord, even over this situation. And so I want to encourage you to think through that today and some steps you might be able to take personally to grow in your faith and your confidence that Jesus is Lord. One idea, because I see through social media that a lot of people are sharing new TV series that they're watching while they're cooped up at home. There's all sorts of things that we're trying to do to entertain ourselves. But I've actually even seen some trends of people making investments and maybe picking up an old hobby, getting out their musical instrument or reading that book that they've been waiting to read. I want to encourage you that during this time, if you find that you're at home, you have extra time on your hands, which you probably do, set aside some extra time for reading God's Word. Start that study of a specific book of Scripture that maybe you've been talking about doing. Set aside extra time to pray and really just sit in God's presence to hear His voice. Encourage you, even as we've been challenging our church to do, every day at noon, just pause for a moment and pray for those that are being impacted by the current situation. Pray especially for our nurses and our first responders and those that are on the front lines. But allow this time that might be scary and might feel like things are out of control, take small steps to invest in your faith, in Christ, and remember that Jesus is Lord. We can also, during this time, be a voice that can be speaking to the gratefulness that we have and giving thanks to God and recognizing that while things are challenging, we have many reasons to give thanks. Colossians 3:17 says, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Ephesians 5:20 says, "Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 reads, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." While we don't necessarily have to give thanks for the coronavirus, in whatever circumstances we face in this situation, we can pause and we can find things in our lives and the lives of those around us to give thanks for. During this time, we can be speaking to the things that we're grateful for to highlight the good news in the midst of all of the bad news. I mean, just think for a moment. I mean, the things that we can be grateful for. We can be grateful for our homes, for our friends and our family that are there checking in on each other. We can be thankful for those that are working in the hospitals, our doctors and our nurses, our first responders, those that are on the front line during this crisis. We have food on the table. We have care and people that are caring, concerned, and checking in with each other. We have so many reasons to give thanks, and I know you can add to that list. And I want to encourage you to be a voice that, rather than just adding to the bad news, that we pause and we declare our thanks to God for His provision for us. The last idea of multiplying our impact is that we can multiply our impact of serving and multiply in our acts of service or acts of love to those around us. Paul in Philippians 2, verses 4 through 8, says, "Let each of us look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." For those of you that are listening to this that are Christ followers, you've given your life to follow Christ, we've been called to follow His example of service, not only looking to our own interests, but looking to the needs of those around us. And like Christ became a servant and even gave His life in upon the cross for each one of us, we can give our lives to serving others. And so I encourage you to think of practical ways that you can care for your neighbors, that you can serve and make an impact, even when you feel like you're just stuck at home and can't do anything. I love in Galatians 5, verse 6, Paul's having a theological discussion, but he makes in the latter part of verse 6 a statement that I love, and it relates to this idea of what our faith is supposed to really look like in this world. We look, and I'm reading from the NIV in this verse. Paul makes a statement. He says, "The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love." The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. our faith, if we're at people who have put our faith in God and put our faith in Jesus Christ and are walking with him as Christ followers, we need to be demonstrating that faith in caring for our neighbors, looking for the needs and in the practical ways that we can make a difference. We, even from our home, there are things that we can do, and we can become, like what Fred Rogers' mother said, we can become part of the solution and being some of the helpers that we see in the midst of this difficult time. Remember the quote that Fred Rogers said? He says, "When I was a boy, I would see scary things in the news. My mother would say to me, 'Look for the helpers. You will always find people who are helping.'" You know, even in our own community, I've been seeing small actions of service and caring that I just want to reflect on, because it might encourage you to consider the things that you can do during this time. I was excited to see a local cleaning company just stepping out and going around to the local parks and disinfecting the kids' toys and playground equipment. We've seen a movement across the country of people making the commitment to say, "I'm going to order takeout from my favorite restaurants." Doesn't seem like such a sacrifice, but being intentional in that can help our small business owners. I see people, and I'm so grateful for some folks in our church that can't get out, but they're on the phone and they're making phone calls and they're checking in with some of our homebound folks, or people that may not have a lot of friends or family that checking on them. We're trying to keep in touch, and that's something that you can do. And thinking through some of the people that you're aware of in your community that may not have a lot of folks checking on them, be that person that's making the phone call. Many people are doing grocery runs for their neighbors, especially if your neighbor might be older or vulnerable with a health condition. Consider, when you're getting ready to go to the store, giving them a call and asking, can I get anything for you to keep you from having to be exposed to the craziness that has become shopping, grocery shopping now. We see a move, even in the midst of this, opportunities to volunteer. We've been sharing opportunities for volunteering through our church communication tools, and those of you that are able to leave the home, there are opportunities through the Salvation Army and some of the other community ministries that we're partnering with, and we're going to continue to keep sharing those needs. We know that we've been having opportunities to participate in a blood drive in our community. The list goes on and on. And if you take Fred Rogers' advice, if we look for those examples of how people are helping, it can motivate us and challenge us to find our own place to make a difference. Today, as we wrap up, I just want to encourage you to take some time after the service today. The worship team is going to lead us in a song, a classic old hymn of "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus," because none of this is really possible unless our eyes and our lives are focused on him, so that we can invite God to work in us and through us, so that we can impact the lives of others. But we have a list of questions that I'm going to put on the screen here. I want to encourage you at the end of the service to take some time with whoever's watching with you. If you're by yourself, just take a few moments to reflect on these questions and think of some small steps that you can take. I'm also including a link to a video of a song that's been on my mind for the last couple weeks, and for copyright reasons, we're not embedding it into this video, but there is a link in the YouTube description and any of the information that we've shared to the song. It's a music video by the artist Plum from about 5 or 6 years ago called "One Drop." And it's a simple song. It's catchy. You may hate me later because you can't get it out of your head. It's actually a very very good song, very catchy song. But it reminds us of the simple truth of that one drop, that one small action, how it can impact so many. And so I encourage you, take a moment to watch that song, reflect on the truth of that message, and then ask yourself these questions. How, in this coming week, can I multiply my faith or my convictions that Jesus is Lord? How can I multiply my thankfulness? And are there ways that I can share my gratitude and my words of thanks to those around me? And how can I multiply acts of service or love? Is there some small thing that I can do, whether it's the phone call, the grocery run, the blood service, or going and volunteering at the blood bank, whatever it might be, find some way that you can be an encouragement and demonstrate God's love this week.